Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. When it comes to travel, we all have that one happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, a little couple's getaway, or even to visit that best friend that you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. I even did their jingle, did you hear that? Personally, my happy place is the beach, sitting next to Drew, pina colada in one hand, book in the other. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everybody gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. Ugh, just kidding. I love you, family. But it could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. Maybe I'll invite my mailman. Just kidding. I don't know him. So I'll bring Elena, Mikey, and Dave, and of course, my Who's Band. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Hey, weirdos. I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid.
I think that Ash was trying to sound vaguely like I sounded a few days ago.
No, I was inspired by
the Natalie. I can't do it or I'll start coughing forever. I will never stop.
I will start coughing into oblivion.
I will cough myself into like another dimension.
Oh my goodness. into like a black hole with the sound.
Oh God.
Maybe that's what it is. Like people just cough themselves into a land that we think is a black hole. And really the sounds that we're listening to that you're not even supposed to be fucking listening to. Let me tell you, that's a cursed footage.
Are just people wheezing.
I think it could be. I really think.
Just sick people just wheezing like, all together. I think that's what happened.
That actually hurts. Hold up.
Well, I'm almost back to normal voice. I'm getting there.
I wish you had said normal because I was going to be like, girl,
never.
Never been normal.
Never have, never will be. Totally fine with it. But no, I think my voice is almost there. Now it's reached a point, it's reached that sultry point. And then it's going to dip back off and become normal again. And John's going to go, oh,
Aww, I know. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Oh, girl.
No, he actually said last night, "I miss your voice." Like he was like, "I don't know.
That is
I don't know this woman anymore. I'd like you back."
Drew, what the fuck? You've never said that to me.
And I was like, "I'm trying. This is why I'm downing tea. Like it's going out of style."
Yeah, let's get that Lisa Kudrow voice back and better than ever.
I still think that's the funniest, weirdest thing to come out of this podcast.
I think the funniest, weirdest thing to come out of this podcast is when somebody told me I wasn't using my real voice.
That's pretty funny.
That was my favorite.
I just never in my at the time that we started this, like 32 years of life, had I ever been told that my voice sounds like Lisa Kudrow.
No.
And then as soon as I started this podcast, we got message after message, and I'm like,
I still personally like I could see it, I guess, if like I had a lot of wax in my ear and a head cold.
Okay.
But other than that, sorry, I was playing with something. I don't really see it.
Yeah, I don't
know.
What?
You probably didn't even hear that because these mics are good. They like...
Probably not.
They block out the background noise.
You just blew up your own spot.
I mean, what the fuck else is new?
Your own fidgety little spot.
It's called adhuda.
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 That is what it, that's the medical term for it.
Sorry, ma'am. You are experiencing symptoms of adhuda.
Yeah, you know, we all are.
Yeah,
we're all there.
It. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're doing a listener tale episode, but this is a very special one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a themed one.
Themes.
This is home invasions.
Home invasions.
Dwelling invasions.
Nobody's ever said it in such a sultry tone before. Like, 911, what's your emergency? I'm experiencing a home invasion. It's very Margaret Rose.
It is.
Dad, I think they've just broken into our home.
I think we've just busted everyone's eardrums with that. Look at that wave.
Look at that. Look is it a wave or a wav? What do you think?
Well, that's a wave.
Oh.
But a file is could be either, I think.
Gonna ride that wave.
Exactly. But also in other news, we went to the P.O. box today.
It's a P.O. box.
The P.O. box. And we got some like very beautiful things.
Yeah, we took
just
some
very
pics.
Thoughtful things.
We're going to share to the Instagram so that these businesses can get the recognition that they deserve. I mean, I'm sure they already are, but just blow them up even further.
And just like, you guys like really like, You're just the, like, you're the shit.
You guys
like,
are kind.
My God.
You made Elena cry.
Yeah, honestly, one of the things made me tear up. No joke.
Cry.
Straight up.
Say
And what's even better, or I guess what's, like, even, like, nicer about this is, like, I saw some, like, really foul things that somebody said about me recently. And, like,
the way
really
that
foul.
You're gonna catch these motherfucking hands.
Yeah, like, really foul. Like, you know, like... really foul. And it was like kind of a bummer. And then this, we went to the P.O. box and it was like, I was like, oh, fuck that person. Like, I was like, fuck that. Like, yeah. These are the real ones right here.
They are.
And like, you guys are fucking amazing. And I just wanted to let you know that literally you changed my complete mood.
You really
and
did.
And everything. You literally.
I witnessed the change. It was like a load that was on your shoulders that just completely like lifted.
Yeah. So I just want to thank you guys for being so rad and being awesome.
You guys, I know I thank you too because I'm always in a good mood, but you make my, I'm actually not always in a good mood. That's a fucking lie and a half. I don't even know
I
who says
say,
that.
I was like,
who
wow.
says that? I'm like, all I'm, right. I'm always in a good mood. So
I was like, I'd call you out, but I'm just going to sit here.
You always, you know that I'll always call myself out. It just came out of my mouth. I don't know, but I was in a good mood today, but that made me in an even gooder mood.
Even gooder, as one of my kids would say.
Yeah.
And yeah, you guys are awesome. And we just wanted to let you know that like you change our moods
constantly. Like, even when I'm always in a good mood.
Even though Ash is literally never in a foul mood
it's
ever.
Perpetual bitch.
She's always happy no matter what. No. You make it better. But you guys just like you're so thoughtful.
You're the bee's knees.
And I just like wanna just hug every one of you even though I fucking hate hugs. So like
she doesn't even love us.
And I know I say that all the time, but like I'm serious. Don't I just wanted you. To thank you guys. You guys are fucking awesome.
No, and some of you the candles that you craft.
Oh my gosh. Just the shit you guys make.
Yeah, like the bracelets.
I want you to be millionaires. Like, you make the coolest shit. Like,
I love
it. And we're gonna put it all on blast so that hopefully you get, you know, customers that you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
Because your shit is awesome. You guys are super talented.
You really are. And just like so thoughtful.
Yeah. It's just really nice. So I just wanted to tell you guys, thank you. And you guys fucking rock.
Yay.
Every single one of you.
You rock my socks off.
And with that.
With what?
I know.
With thoughts.
I'm not.
She said, would you like me to pause so you can break down?
All right, we're back.
She's sorry. Back.
She's good. Guzzled some water. I'm good.
Would you like me to read the first one while you recoup?
Sure.
Okay. Let me get it up here.
I don't have it in front of me.
That's what he said. Listener tales, the time that I shared a beer with a home invader.
Amazing.
LOL. Here is a putafa of a pretty good home invader story. Hope you like it. My daughter will flip if this gets read. Stay weird, ladies, and give yourselves some breaks every now and then. Listeners can deal.
And how do you guys know?
That's from Chris, and she says, say it. And I know that I can say she because she gave me her pronouns. Thank you for doing so.
Thank you for that.
You guys really are the tits.
Jeez, we say it every time we read the listener tales. It's like you guys just know
what's
when
going
we
on.
Need a little boost.
Yeah.
Or when we just need like a, hey, you're doing great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you just are like, you guys just know.
Everybody deserves that every now and again.
It's really nice. I do.
You guys are doing great.
You guys are doing great.
No, you're going to do great things. You already are. All right. Hey, ladies, I'm Chris, she, her, and you can use my name. The time has come. Oh, every time I say, sorry, I'm already interrupting your whole tale. It's just who I am as a person. No, but I had to pause because Elena coughed again. So sorry for the comeback. But
Sorry.
No, every time I say the time has come, it reminds me of Harriet the Spy.
Yes.
Which is, I think it's like actually Alice in Wonderland.
That, yeah, I think it home. Is.
Anyways, the time has come to talk of many things. For me, to sit my middle-aged saggy-ass cheeks down and write you my listener tale.
Hell yeah.
But before I begin the obligatory, you guys are fucking awesome rant, badasses isn't a strong enough word to describe you. Oh my God.
Jeez.
What you have done to turn this thing you both love into an international success. Oh man, I'm getting all goofy. While being philanthropic is amazing. I'm a sucker for strong, powerful women doing the right thing in the world. And you ladies are a fucking great example. Top notch.
My God.
Chef's kiss.
Mwah. Mwah.
Oh my God. Shut up, Chris.
Oh, Chris.
Elena's girls are so lucky to grow up with you two as role models.
Oh my
while
goodness.
While I'm at it, enjoy those babies while you can. Pretty soon, I know, they're growing up. They will be all grown up and too old to run and jump into your arms at the bus stop after school hugs and kisses, crying now 1 second.
Chris!
No, whenever the girls come home from school, they immediately run to Elena and then they immediately run to me and I can't handle when that's over.
Oh my God,
I can't even put my brain there.
No, I can't even think about it.
No, goodbye.
That's so sweet though, Chris.
That was so nice of you. And I feel like you're a philanthropic, badass, international woman.
Hell yeah. Woman of mystery.
Ooh. Okay, let's start the tale. My daughter and I discovered you last year and your podcast has brought us closer together. I love that. We talk about you all the time. We buy your recommended books and read them together and we bond in a way I didn't think we could after she became too cool for me a couple years ago.
Oh.
And guess what we pre-ordered? That's right, babe. A little book called The Butcher and the Wren. Available at go-tinyurl.com/thebutcherandthewren. Or you can take one of the 9 copies that I ordered to my home.
That is amazing.
I love
that. Thank you so much.
Me and my teen just recently dedicated a weekend to you guys and traveled up to the, hopefully it's Jerome, Arizona, for a ghost hunting tour and a spooky night of graveyard walks. We spent the entire road trip trying to figure out the Diet Love Pass case.
Oh, hell yeah.
Side note, a highly recommended card game for you and your teen. We were doing physics and using equations to calculate blast distance, super fun math.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm a nerdy PhD biomechanical engineer and did forensic biomechanics for 6 years. And another side note, when you ladies have had to explain the biomechanics, you do an awesome job. And I've totally used pigskin to solve a case. Oh, and that was the sidetrack of all sidetracks.
So deserved and so appreciated.
See,
sidetrack.
We knew that you were a badass woman. And then you just said, hello, I'm a badass woman.
Hello, I'm just a PhD biomechanical engineer.
And I play fucking physics games. Games in the car.
Hell
when you
yeah.
said that I could play that game, I was like, Chris, I love you so much, but I can't play that game. With that being said, I'm an engineer and I can't spell or punctuate. I feel like you're doing a great job so far.
And you know what? You don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to. So bear or beer with me. Just take one deep breath and read.
I won't take too deep of a breath or I'll start coughing again.
Yeah, please don't. Please fucking don't.
Please don't. It's annoying everybody.
Okay, the tail. I don't give a fuck.
I love you. I literally love you.
On the way home from our morbid weekend, my daughter asked if I had anything I could submit as a listener tale. I laughed and I said no. And then we started listening to a tale about a home intruder. And I remember one time I woke up to someone who I didn't know watching me sleep in my own apartment. Yeah, that was creepy. So here's that story.
You're one of my favorite people that's ever existed. I just want you to know this, Chris.
Oh, man, you are, because the way you started this next paragraph.
Oh, my God.
Way back in the day of the Razor flip phone.
Hell yeah.
I had a knockoff Razor. I think it was literally a track phone.
It's like a phaser.
It actually probably is.
Probably was.
I was young, naive, broke, and a braless 19-year-old hippie chick with the keys to my first apartment in Richmond, Virginia.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why I said Virginia like that.
Virginia.
Let's explain Richmond. Richmond was the murder capital of Virginia for years. It was not safe. It was very segregated and unfortunately still very racist. A lot of work has gone into getting this city into the 21st century, and it's looking up. A huge help to the BLM movement.
Love to hear it.
That's awesome. All right, back to my first apartment. Remember your first apartment? The freedom you finally wanted? Well, with freedom comes great responsibility.
Oh,
and
yes.
My irresponsible 19-year-old perky ass learned that lesson quickly. I wish my ass was still as perky.
Same.
I don't think I've ever had a perky ass, to be honest. Or the other thing. First off, someone should warn a girl against living with three other girls. Yeah, they definitely should. Two of which had very serious boyfriends who pretty much lived with us and had very loud sex all the time.
I don't understand that.
That's a disorder. Loud sex.
We've said that before. Like,
it's weird.
If you do that intentionally,
that's
while
disorder.
You live near people,
that's
like
harassment.
So they will hear you, like, what's going on?
Call a doctor.
Something's happening there.
Book a therapy session.
Yeah, because something strange is afoot.
You don't need to do that. It's real weird. Loud sex has got to be on the top list of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I would rather hear fingers in a chalkboard. Same. I hate gross noises. High five, Elena. And this was just the worst. It's like a mouth noise times 1,000.
Whoa.
It really is. Yeah. Anyways, while they were doing the hanky-panky, I would always sit on the sofa in the living room on a portable DVD player headphones until I fell asleep. So I hardly ever slept in my bedroom. Stage set. My roommates kind of sucked and had loud sex. I don't sleep in my room. We were irresponsible. We were young and we were dumb.
This sounds like so much fun.
It also just sounds like so many, like, 19-year-old experiences. The house was a super old townhome in the heart of the city. The front door was the original 100-year-old door, and in order to lock it from the inside, you needed a skeleton key.
Wow.
So at night, when you were locking up, you just couldn't go lock the door. You needed to find a key in the house and lock it from the inside.
That's hilarious.
Honestly, that's like pretty safe.
It is pretty safe, except when you need to go out, I suppose.
Like if there's like a fire or something. I feel like you just always have to have it in your pocket.
Yep.
And in a house of four women, two men, and endless parties, the key was rarely found. So one night after a party had died down and everybody went into their rooms to have sex, because I clearly lived with two of the most horny women in the world, I went to grab my DVD player and headphones, packed myself a sandwich. Himyam reference, because I didn't
How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, that's like a Nin moment, isn't it? How I Met Your Mother reference, because I didn't tell my kids this part. And popped in season two of Gilmore Girls. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Baby Rory, before Rory was a bitch.
Yes.
I love it. Without thinking twice about the front door, I slowly drift off to dreamland on the sofa. Thank you, blessed sandwich, for thy fuzziest of dreams. I love a good sandwich.
This is amazing.
4 a.m. rolls around, and for some reason, I wake up. I don't remember hearing a distinct noise. I just know that I slowly opened my eyes, and directly in front of me was a wrinkled face of an older man that I'd never seen, hunched over, looking into my eyes with his hands in his pocket.
That is probably one of the last things I would want to see upon opening my eyes.
One might argue the last thing.
Yeah.
What in the actual fuck? Now, you have brought up this subject before on your show. What would you do if you woke up to somebody watching you sleep? And I'm here to tell you, I did not a single thing I thought I would have done in that scenario.
I feel like that is across the board.
Weirdly, somebody actually recently told Elena and I a story similar to this and said the exact same thing.
And they said they never knew what they would do, obviously.
No.
And they always thought like, oh, I would do this. And then when it happened to them, they froze.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you never do what you think you're going
to
do.
I also just feel like it's not even up to you in that moment. Like, it's your body.
Your fight or flight.
You know? Yeah.
Fight, flight, or freeze.
That's it. Okay, so man looking into my eyes, I ninja roll onto the floor, stand my little 4'11" body up.
Oh my God.
And with a perky voice and the tone of a fucking Walmart greeter, I say, "Hi, how are you today? Can I help you find something?"
Oh my God, that is my favorite reaction to waking up to someone hunched over you.
"Hi, how are you today? Can I help you find something?"
Like, he's like, "Yes, actually."
She says, "What the fuck am I going to help him find?" The man, hands still in his pockets, just looked at me, confused as fuck by this little girl in front of him, took a step back and stuttered, saying, I'm in the wrong house."
"Well,
that's
yeah.
Okay, let me show you out." He looked at a beer on the table. I offered it to him. He took one hand out of his pocket, grabbed the beer, and walked out. What the fuck?
Wow.
Did I just avoid death by being hospitable to a murderer?
Sure did. Sure did.
To a murderer? What was in his pocket? What was he doing in my house? I ran back upstairs, found the stupid key, locked the door, ate another sandwich, or four, and curled up in the fetal position watching Gilmore Girls until one of my roommates woke up.
Wow.
I must explain who I am as a person. I feel like we already know, Chris.
Oh, you're a person that I love and cherish.
Truly.
Is who you are.
Am I all right?
No.
I don't know. I must explain who I am as a person in order for you to fully understand that behavior. I'm a peacemaker. Same. A people pleaser. Same.
Wow.
And a feather unruffler. I think, wow, I made that one up. I think we have a lot in common, Chris, other than the whole physics and PhD thing. I have one goal in life, to be a person who brings joy to others no matter what. I love that.
I fucking love you.
I get that that can be taken too far, like in this example when the person you are trying to please is a home intruder, but that's what I live for. Just to know that I maybe made somebody's day a little better by coming into contact with my smile or gesture. That's why I wave at people.
It's true. Ash waves at everybody.
I love waving at people. I think about this guy a lot, actually. I think about my response and why I was that way. I'm a believer in everyone. Everyone. Even if you cross me. My subconscious woke up and went, "He needs help," not, "He's gonna kill me."
Wow.
What if he was just a homeless with dementia?
That's what I was wondering.
What if he just needed a meal? What if he hadn't come into my home and went to somebody else's who could have killed him? Maybe he was meant to come upon me that morning. Maybe I showed him kindness and he needed that. Maybe I changed his life. Or maybe he went away and murdered my neighbor. Who knows?
Or that.
Anyway, PSA, lock your fucking door and don't eat too many sandwiches. Peace, love, and happiness, my weirdos. Really quick.
Wow.
Two additional PSAs that I can't resist the opportunity to shout out if given a platform. Absolutely. One, foster kiddos. My husband and I have fostered and adopted from the U.S. foster system for several years now. I just wanted to let people know that foster parents are always needed. If you ever listen to Elena and Ash talk about these poor kiddos with severe childhood trauma and you think to yourself, I want to help, you can. Please contact your local foster agencies. You don't even have to commit to fostering. There are so many options and ways to help. Favorite agency? Arizona Friends of Foster Care. And Chris was so nice to give us a link that we will definitely include in the show notes. And number two, foster doggos. I'm also a doggo foster mom, and the same goes for them. Foster parents are always needed. It's hard to give them back, but boy, oh boy, do they melt your heart while you provide them a safe space to grow and learn. Ash, we even named one of our fosters after you. Ash. Oh my God.
I love that.
Elena, yours is coming. This one just had an Ash vibe.
Pictures I'm literally
attached.
Obsessed.
Oh my God, I love it. And Chris also gave us, did you just see me doing that? Chris, yes, gave us a link. I have a separate mouse to like the desktop, and then my laptop has its own mouse, and I was just trying to use my laptop mouse, but I was using the wrong one and I was getting really confused. Pictures. Me and my BFFs at 19. I'm very scary, right? Me and my family this year. Me and my daughter on our morbid weekend.
Oh my God, I love
you
guys.
Your black lab is Ash, because I don't know if you know this, but that's my favorite dog. Okay, wait, you were adorable. Your family is beautiful. Your daughter has gorgeous hair, both of them. I literally love you guys, and that dog is beautiful because his name is Ash, or her name is Ash.
I'm obsessed with all of you.
I love.
You're all lovely.
Elena, do you really think you're going to be able to read a tale, or do you want me to just read
I'm
going to
give it a try.
Okay.
I'll give it a try.
All right. Capricorns never give up.
I have that thing. You know that thing, guys? You know that thing. You
that
know that thing.
Thing. That
exactly.
Thing.
There you go. Bring some Lauryn Hill in here. But no, I have that that thing
cough.
Where it like forces air out of your throat. You know when you're at the end
choking.
Of...
choking.
At the end of the day during like a cold, and it's like... you have like your body has no autonomy against this cough coming out. It's just like, it's coming.
Yeah.
That's what keeps happening.
I totally get that.
But you know, it's fine.
All right. Well, try to read a listener tale.
Let's see. Which one should I read?
The time I was almost kidnapped in Fucktown, Indiana.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go for that one.
Yeah.
All right. It says, let's see.
It's your old...
Oh, no.
That's the most embarrassing thing.
What just happened? I'm upset.
I was going to say.
You have summoned a demon.
I was going to say, you were holding in coughs and I'm holding in burps. But then as I went to say it, I like kind of swallowed my burp and it really hurt.
All right, I've taken the time to calm down. And what I was saying is I thought Elena was holding in a cough, but at the same time, I was holding in a burp. But then when I went to say that, the burp kind of like lodged itself further down into my chest and it really hurt.
We're having a lot of situations happening all at once.
It's also 8:46 p.m. So
yeah, it's late. So we're
we've had like a full day of recordings.
Recordings. That's why my voice is just dunsky. That's why the cough keeps coming, but... We're going to work through this.
Travel's great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com or call 877-290-1880. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel. Are you the kind of person who loves a touch-up on the go, or maybe you're a full glam while in the carpool kind of human? Maybe there's no time for a full face in the morning between kids, pets, work, all of that. Maybe you woke up late. Well, Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation is perfect for those moments when life moves fast. I absolutely love this foundation because it doesn't settle into any fine lines or wrinkles, and you can just toss this thing in your purse. You say, oh my gosh, I have a little smudge right here. Let me fix it really quick. It's perfect. And it's now in 16 shades. It offers SPF 20, which like that's amazing. It's got moisturizing pro vitamin B5. And I love the applicator. It's a blurring sponge. So you can just tap, tap, tap it to reset your foundation and you are good. Shop Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
So... this one is called The Time I Almost Was Kidnapped in Fucktown, Indiana.
Yay.
It says, hello to my favorite people on planet Earth. I have attached a PDF for your creepy reading pleasures. Ooh. Hope you guys will read this because I would love nothing more than to get to rub it into my husband's face and tell him how lame he is and how cool I am.
Do it. Do
Hell
it.
Hell yeah. Let's see. Hello, my name is Jordan. Yes, use my name, please. Okay Jordan. And yes, I'm in love with y'all, but if I start talking about my undying love for you, this won't ever turn into a listener tale. But I must first say first, Elena, I cried ugly tears when you lost Bailey. Aww. And Ash, I cannot wait to hear all about your wedding.
Aw, thanks.
Thank you for that. So anyways, let me set the scene.
Okay.
14-year-old Jordan, living her best life, is forced to go to Bumblefuck, Indiana for a week during the summer to visit my grandparents. Yes, I loved them so much, but I was not thrilled to be in tiny town USA with nothing to do but go to church or McDonald's or stare at my annoying little brother.
Oh, McDonald's.
With boredom setting in on day 3 of nothingness, my brother and I decided to go for a walk around the neighborhood and just do annoying teenager shit.
Ding dong, ditch.
Act like we were so cool on skateboards and pretending to do tricks like we were Tony Hawk.
Ah.
I was terrible and my brother at least had balance. So in my grandparents' neighborhood, there were these shit creepy alleys backing up to everybody's home. We were running around the alley behind her street and decided it was time to go back to her million-year-old house and watch a movie before bed. We were sleeping on couches downstairs since my parents were in one room and my grandparents were in the other. Around 2 a.m., I got that weird feeling that someone was watching me.
Ugh.
The couch I was sleeping on was in front of the sitting room facing the porch and Main Street, and my brother in the back sitting room by the kitchen and back door leading into the alley. I decided to lay down on my cinder block of a fucking couch and try to sleep. Almost immediately after getting comfy, I hear footsteps behind me.
No, thank you.
Coming from the room my brother was in right next to me. I assumed my brother had woken up and was just trying to scare me. I was facing into the back of the couch, so I couldn't see behind me. They got louder and closer, so I yelled, "Go the fuck to sleep, Zach. Leave me alone."
Leave me alone.
There it is. The footsteps stopped. Thinking my teenage older brother's superiority made him go back to bed, I was trying to get comfy again. Then the steps got louder and closer again. I was so annoyed, I threw the blanket off me, spun around, and stood up. Who was there? Not my fucking brother.
Oh.
There was a man standing about 3 inches from my face, wearing all black, ooh, a ski mask, and gloves.
Nope.
I couldn't even make a noise. I remember studying him for a second and trying to figure out what the fuck was I gonna do if he touched me. I had never shit my pants so hard in my life. As I started to open my mouth to try and scream, he ran away, jumping over the coffee table and through the room my brother was in and through the back to the alley.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Now, 14-year-old Jordan was already 5'9" and about 150 pounds.
Same sister.
And this little shit stain was maybe 5'6" and 120 pounds soaking wet. I guess he realized I wasn't going to be some easy target to take back to his Indiana dungeon. This little fucker had the audacity to think he could take me, but didn't realize how tall I was, and I guess that scared him.
Good.
I ran upstairs, leaving my brother, because fuck him. That dude wanted me, obviously, since he passed right by my sleeping brother and came straight to me. I banged on my parents' door and my grandparents came out after hearing the commotion. After catching my breath, I was finally able to tell them what happened, and my dad and grandfather both grabbed a shotgun and went running into the alley, while my mom called the police and my grandfather got my brother from downstairs. Side note, my brother slept through this whole ordeal.
That has some serious Ash energy.
It does. But you know what? Kids, like siblings,
mm-hmm,
will sleep through that shit because it's not their problem.
Yeah, your doctor told me
My doctor told us that, at least when they're six, but you guys are older, so I don't think that excuse stands.
I don't know. If it's like not your responsibility... Is it a younger brother?
He's no, this is older brother.
Oh, older brother? Yeah. Okay, well, yeah.
So really, excuse doesn't stand.
He's just a heavy sleeper.
You know, the police got there and told us the gate to the alley was open, but the back door didn't look like it was tampered with. And my grandmother said, oh, well, we don't lock the doors. Bitch, what? That was what she wrote, not me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bitch, what? God rest her soul, but what in the actual Indiana fuck is wrong with her? We didn't think to lock the door. You didn't think to lock the doors with your grandchildren in the house?
Oh my God.
My parents didn't think to check. I was almost on a fucking milk carton and my grandma acted like it was no big deal.
She's like, of course he came in. Of course there's no tampering.
Of course. The police stayed outside all night and talked long with my brother. And I asked if anybody talked to us that day. Then it dawned on me. A weird 20-something kept trying to talk to me when we were going to McDonald's. And he definitely watched us go into my grandmother's house.
Ooh.
The police told my mom, not in a rude or creepy way, they thought this guy was probably enamored by me since I was blonde, tall, young, and was already rocking double D titties.
I'm screaming.
I am screaming. They assumed the same thing I did, that because I was so much taller than him, he bitched out like the pussy he was and ran for his life.
That's fucking iconic.
Why are you guys so great?
I love you guys.
Needless to say, I didn't sleep that night, and we left at 7 a.m. the next morning, and I was terrified that homie was going to follow us back to Georgia and try to get me again. I don't blame you. That would have traumatized me.
Of course it would have.
Ever since then, I've been overly aware of my surroundings and live by the motto, fuck around and find out.
That's Elena's motto.
That is my motto. Thanks for reading my one experience in Indiana and why I'll never go back. I have tons of weird ghost stories too. If you want to hear them, let me know.
We want to hear them.
We want them. I love you guys and keep this shit weird. Now take it away, Ash.
But also, that you go to Indiana and you decide to try to visit your grandparents and you're like, oh, yay, McDonald's, that'll be fun. And then you run into this creepy guy and maybe he likes you because of your double D itties and you're just like, oh my God, that's a lot. Oh my gosh. And then he breaks into your house because grandma doesn't lock her doors because she doesn't care that we're going to be sleeping on the couch and we're going to die.
God rest her soul, but
God,
what the fuck?
God rest her soul.
That's amazing, Jordan. That was a lot and terrifying.
I love this.
Terrifying.
My next one. Are you jelly?
I'm very jelly.
Are you jelly?
I'm jellyfish.
It's Listener Tales Boston Edition.
Boston.
And it says, hello. If you guys are actually reading this, we are. Thank you. Attached is a double space putifa for your reading pleasure. Please enjoy. Let me pull this up. Listener Tales, the time that I woke up to a man watching me sleep and ended up on the front page of the Boston Herald.
Whoa.
Wow. That's a loaded caption. It's not a caption.
It sure is.
I'm like, that's a loaded caption on this picture that's not here. Hold on. I zoomed in too much. I'm literally sold.
You can do it.
You can't.
I have faith in you.
I can't. Hello, my two favorite weirdos. Thank you for being you and allowing all of us listeners into your lives. I started listening to you guys when you were on the episode of the Coffee Combos podcast, and I've been hooked ever since. That was Kale and Lindsay's podcast. Yes, that was so much fun.
That was fun.
They're two fun gals. Listening to you guys makes it feel like I'm hanging out with my besties, and I am so excited every time a new episode is released.
Thank you.
We didn't plan that.
We didn't.
We do that so often. It's like really embarrassing.
A lot.
I don't even want to be like you.
I don't want to be like you.
I don't want to be like you.
I just want to be mean to you.
Yeah. wait, I don't want to be like, that's a song. I don't want to be like you.
That is a song.
What is that song?
I don't know.
I don't want to be like you. I'm just going to
keep doing it over and over.
I don't want to know. I'm just kidding.
Somebody is sitting there being like, it's fucking this, yeah. You idiot.
Sorry. Please tweet at me. My name is Emily. Feel free to use it as many times as you want during the story. Okay, Emily.
Emily
wrote, as we will see at the end, the Boston Herald ran not one, but two articles about this incident. So there's no point in trying to hide my identity, which is Emily.
Emily.
Oh, no, my goodness. Trigger warning for attempted rape.
Ooh.
To my knowledge, nobody in this situation was raped, but it was clear that that was the intent.
That's horrific,
and I'm so happy that nobody was. I'm going to include links to both articles as well as the horrendous picture they used as the front page. You're welcome for the laugh in advance. We would never laugh at you, Emily. Now, for a little backstory and to set the scene. It was June of 2010. I was going to pharmacy school in Boston. That's badass.
Seriously.
I shared an apartment with five other classmates. Side note, when we signed the lease, the landlord told us that only four people could be on it, since more than four unrelated people living together is considered a brothel and illegal.
Oh my god.
No idea how true that is, but thought it was fun to share.
That is true. I had friends that happened to. That's amazing. So technically we had a brothel when we lived in Quincy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But does that count if it's, like, dudes?
I don't know.
Or is it, like, sexist?
I don't know.
It's probably sexist.
I hope not. I hope it was considered a brothel.
That would be, like, a hoppin' brothel.
When there was gals.
Did you just hear me? I said you had a hoppin' brothel.
A hoppin' brothel.
Because there was a lot of you.
There was two gals.
Yeah.
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 So.
That's a lot of peeps.
Yeah.
That's a big old brop.
It was a real big brop.
Brop, brop. So we lived in a classic Boston brownstone on Wigglesworth Street. I didn't even know that fucking existed. You know, the kind with the fire escapes on the back.
Oh,
those
gorgeous.
Always make me so nervous, though, because intruders.
But the brownstones, oh, beautiful.
Absolutely, like goals.
Yeah.
We had the upper two floors and the bottom two floors were our neighbors. Now, because it was summer, all five of my other roommates had gone back to their homes. I decided to stay and work in Boston and had my then boyfriend, aka current ex-husband, living with me at the time. I'm sorry, Emily. This is probably the only time that I could say I was truly grateful for him. Anyways.
Ooh, that was a sick burn.
That was a sick burn. I loved it. Fuck you, Emily's ex. We were getting ready to go to bed for the night. We had a room on the bottom floor, meaning that there was an entire upper floor that was not being used. We had turned off all the lights and I was starting to fall asleep when I thought I heard a noise.
You did.
You definitely did.
You heard one.
I didn't think much of it at the time because, hello, it's Boston, and I'm living around a bunch of other college kids.
That's true.
A few minutes later, right as I was falling asleep, something told me to open my eyes. And that is when I saw a guy about my age just standing there and watching me sleep.
No.
I
hate this so much.
I can't handle this. Naturally, I screamed like I have never screamed before.
See, we have, like, three totally different reactions already.
I know,
to this happening.
That is crazy. The intruder must have assumed that I was home alone because, girl, he was surprised when my then boyfriend got up and started chasing him out.
Good.
While he's chasing the intruder down the stairs, I'm frantically calling 911. When they get to the end of the stairs, then boyfriend starts punching the intruder in the face. At some point, the intruder is able to open the front door and run. As he's running out, the downstairs neighbors come to see what's happening, and they get a better look at the intruder than I did. It turns out that this guy was not working alone.
Oh.
And it was not the first house on the first street that they had attempted to break into that night. That's so fucked.
I hate this.
They tried breaking into at least two other apartments before mine, both of which were college-age females home alone. Both of these guys were drunk or high on something. One of them was the lookout, while the other guy was the one who actually broke in.
Oh my god.
That's so fucked. And that's the thing I was going to say. She said they must have been watching. They must have both been watching my apartment from the back and waiting for me to turn all my lights off.
Oh,
the fact, like the thought of like just the casual act of you turning your lights off, but the fucking nefarious, scary ass motherfuckers outside watching you do that.
I hate it.
It's like the Butcher and the Wren. It's the fucking dueling stories.
There you go.
I hate it.
Like, nice plug. I liked it.
Elena gave me her illness right there.
Sorry.
I was down with the sickness.
No.
After they thought I was asleep, the intruder climbed the fire escape of the back of the building. The noise I thought I heard, he was trying to open the window in the bedroom that I knew that he knew I was in. It was locked, thank you. So he made his way up to the top floor where one of my roommates who had left for the summer left her bedroom windows unlocked.
Oh my God.
The way I would have slapped that, but no, I'm just kidding.
Elena
said, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
It was obvious that he was not there to rob us, as nothing in the apartment was taken or even touched. He was there to rape me.
Oh my God.
Just like he had tried and failed to rape the two women before me.
Wow.
I'm so sorry that you had, like, have to have that thought in your mind that even could have happened.
Because that's such a violation, even that.
Yeah, it's a violation of your safety and your privacy and everything. He did not realize that there was anybody else in the apartment with me. At the time, I didn't realize that was the motive, but looking back, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Because they had attempted to break into other apartments before mine, the police were already close by. First, they caught the lookout guy in the backyard.
Good.
While the police had him in custody, his phone rang.
Oh my God.
The intruder calling him. Fuck this guy. The lookout guy hands his phone to the police officer.
Oh my God.
The officer asked him where he was, to which he replied that he was on the roof of the Stop and Shop nearby. He then added, oh, that was fucked what we did, and hung up. Because these idiots were inebriated, the police were able to apprehend them very quickly.
Wow.
That's so crazy. I was in such a state of panic that when the officers asked me to come outside and identify the suspects, it didn't even occur to me that I was still in my pajamas, wearing a tank top, with no bra.
Oh my God.
They should have like thought to say something to you like, hey, you want to grab a sweatshirt?
You want to grab a sweatshirt, girlfriend?
That's why we need a lady there sometimes. So here I am outside with a million people and several guys lined up with headlights shining on them, trying to figure out which guy wanted to rape me.
Oh my God.
All while barely wearing any clothes.
That's horrific.
Myself, my then boyfriend, and our downstairs neighbors were all able to pick out the intruder right away. Both guys were charged with breaking and entering that night with an attempt to commit a felony. I was asked to be in court, but I could not imagine having to look at this guy again, so I decided not to attend. I don't blame you at all.
No.
I wrote my victim impact statement, which was read during the hearing. At the end of the hearing, they were ordered, get ready to be enraged.
Oh, no.
To apologize to the both of us, perform 25 hours of community service each, and take part in a substance abuse program that was at least a year long.
That's it?
You read that correctly. All they got was this slap on the wrist.
What?
I'm convinced this is because they both came from very prominent and wealthy families who could not bear the thought of having this on their son's record.
Fuck that.
How about not bearing the thought that your son might be a rapist?
Yeah.
And like standing on the side of the girl
and making sure
that the right charges are brought against him.
In 25 hours of community service a day?
And like a year of a program? Are you kidding? And to apologize? You think I want anything to do with these fuckers?
You think I want you ever to speak to me?
Like, I cease and desist that.
Ugh.
Now we get to the part about the Boston Herald. A few weeks go by, and I'm trying to get back to life as normally as I can. This is not an easy thing to do, because if I thought I was an anxious person before this, you best believe that was nothing compared to how anxious I'd become. One day, I'm in the shower, and the doorbell rings. There's no reason for our doorbell to ring, ever. Then boyfriend goes down to open the door and tells me it's a reporter from the Boston Herald who wants to interview us. I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck? I'm naked in the shower and they want an interview right now? No warning, nothing? So I get out and I get dressed as quickly as I can. I'm not thinking about what I'm putting on because they wouldn't think about taking my picture, right?
Wrong. What?
They take our picture. I'm wearing an old t-shirt and shorts, and I'm pretty sure I didn't even brush my hair.
Oh my God.
This picture was on the front page of the Herald. I've attached the articles to the email, and as you can imagine, I was mortified when I saw this picture. By the way, a quick Google search says that I can buy that photo for $500 from Getty Images. I would pay that much just for them to delete it.
Oh my God, I would do that, I swear. If we could get them to delete it for you, we would.
Literally. So this is the story of how my ex-husband potentially saved my life after we woke up to a man watching me sleep and then ended up featured on the front page of the Herald. And this is my PSA to always lock your doors and windows and to always keep your curtains and blinds shut and to never let natural light in because you never know who may be out there watching you through your windows. Fresh air is for dead people, am I right? Thank you for reading this and I hope you keep it weird, but not so weird that. Take it away, Ash, which is me. Not so weird that... you didn't even keep it at that weird.
You didn't do anything wrong.
Don't keep it so weird that you break into fucking people's houses because I will punch you.
You did.
So will Emily's ex-boyfriend, husband. Sorry.
Also, you know what? You look great in that picture,
oh,
Emily.
Oh, shit. I didn't even look. Hold on. Let me see. Oh.
But I can tell that you're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Your face is literally screaming, are you fucking kidding me? That's iconic. That's so funny. Wow. Oh, I forgot that you were coughing. I'm like, what, are you sick or something?
I can't. I put a cough drop in my mouth for that one so that I wouldn't have that many coughs.
Aw.
Seemed to help a little bit.
It did. That was my suggestion.
It was. It was an Ash suggestion.
TM.
TM. So, Emily, I'm glad that you're okay.
I know.
You look great.
You have great natural hair, too. You don't have to brush it.
Yeah. Just let it go.
In fact, you shouldn't brush it after you get out of the shower.
There you go. Yeah. Hairstylist right there.
Yeah.
So this next one is entitled, I Saved Us with a Dinosaur Encyclopedia.
Mm.
So there we go.
Alrighty.
And this comes to us from Tasia McFrontbum.
It truly does.
It does. It always has and it always will.
And I see what you did there with my name, Tasia McFrontbum. Okay. I see that you added an extra S in the parenthesis so it could be ass-ha. When I was little, my little brother couldn't pronounce... Well, yeah, I was little too. My little brother couldn't pronounce my name, so he would just call me Asley.
I love that.
And it stuck for a while, and it makes me angry. But
and we still say ass.
Nah.
No, well, we don't. We never say that.
It's because this work environment is so incredibly toxic.
It is, so I call you an asshole all the time.
You asshole.
I never do. You sunshine. You are. So it
call
says,
me little sunshine.
Little sunshine.
Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Call me little sunshine. Yeah.
Why are you so confused by that?
I don't know. I'm so confused. You're like, you just
phased out into space for a minute. You were like, call me a little sunshine.
I had a vision.
It's like, is everything okay?
That's so Ash.
Wow. Okay. So it says, so here's my submission for a listener tale. And it's about the time I goddamn smashed a creepy stalker bicycle man's fingers. Sorry for the length.
Never have to be. Mr. McFrontbum.
I've grown up in America, but when I was young, my family and I would return to Thailand during my summer breaks from school.
Ooh.
However, I would attend school while I was in Thailand, so like, I never got a break from school.
Fuck that.
And it says aggressively Asian, but it's cool. My family and I are from a very small rural village in a small province in Nakhon Sawan. I'm so sorry if I said that wrong. I know I did. Just about 2 or so hours away from Bangkok. Everyone knows everyone and knows everything about everyone. I'm somewhat of a freak over there because I wear lighter colored contacts. I have very long hair and a fairly light skin since I'm from Washington and I get sunlight for like 3 days a year. It's mostly the long hair that is striking because school-aged girls have to have their hair cut into a bob because, I don't know, constitutional monarchy and lice. You're hilarious.
You sound also super cool.
You do. I was around 12 or 13 around this time, and my then best friend joined me in Thailand for our summer break. She also drew a lot of attention because she was tall as balls for our age and white, blonde, and has rosacea, so super pink cheeks like a doll.
Aw, well, cutie.
We were a shocking duo for my sheltered village. It was like we were human zoos anytime we left the house. No exaggeration. My family and I live on a sort of compound in the entrance of a village. Our land has my uncle's house, which doubles as a mechanic shop, as well as a restaurant run by my aunt.
Oh, cool.
Our house, which is just a house, and my grandparents' tree bungalow. That sounds amazing.
That sounds like a movie.
There's a small bamboo forest in my backyard as well, and the gate is locked late at night depending on when my uncle finishes his cars. One morning, I came outside for breakfast and noticed a man that I had never met before chatting with my dad as he was unsuccessfully trying to start a dirt bike. Again, we all know each other in the village, so like, whomst are you, sir, and why are you in my yard? He was super skinny, and his skin looked like a brown pleather couch.
Gross.
At first, I thought he was missing a lot of teeth until I noticed that a number of them were just actually completely dark brown. Oh. He was older than my dad, probably around mid-50s, and I noticed that he was speaking to my dad in a way that a peasant would speak to a king. Think your majesty, your lordship type of vibes. Very odd.
All right, he's like role-playing.
It is customary in Thai culture that elders be greeted, no matter how many brown teeth they have. I stopped to greet him. That's like a wonderful part of your culture.
No matter what.
Yeah. I stopped to greet him before heading off to breakfast, and my dad introduced him briefly. I assumed that he was my uncle's customer and was waiting for his car. He greeted me back and started asking my dad weird things, like, is my hair real? How beautiful I am? Am I staying long? How did I learn Thai? Etc.
My dad, like, I literally am.
You're like that, you know, it just happened. My dad answered him and continued on about his dirt bike, so I said goodbye and left. Shortly after, I walked away, creepy bicycle man, as we will now call him, hopped onto a rickety old rusted red bicycle and headed out of our yard. I remembered watching him leave and thinking, God damn, someone get that man some WD-40, because the horrendous creaking and squeaking coming from that bike made me want to propel myself into the sun like a gassy jetpack. The days went on like this, and I began noticing CBM almost everywhere.
Creepy bike man.
If my friend and I were going to grab lunch somewhere, he'd be there. Sometimes we would help my great aunt out at the local preschool, and often when I came outside, I could hear that godforsaken bicycle either leaving or coming. He did not have a child at the preschool, I learned, nor did he have a child attending the school that I did, which I spotted him around on numerous occasions, just bumming around.
What the fuck? I'm
really stressed out for you.
I do not like it.
Again, small village. I figured I was just noticing him more now because I had seen him. He started speaking to me more in passing, always just small talk about how my day was going, when I was leaving for the States. He started showing up even more, and eventually it got to the point where when I woke up for school, like early as fuck, like a rooster crowing the second the sun's ass crack showed up early, he would be out on the streets riding on his bike or was already in our yard.
What the hell?
Apparently he was finding odd jobs around our houses to do, helping my grandpa with gardening, helping with dishes, helping with mechanics, etc.
Which is like great, but like why are you being creepy about it?
What the fuck is he up to? I finally asked my mom just who the hell he was because I started to get a bit weirded out. Turns out I had never met him before because he had just gotten out of rehab. But his mom was a friend of my grandma's. Actually, side note, my grandma is a badass motherfucker who is tatted and raises fighting cocks, which I wholeheartedly do not support, and brews and sells her own moonshine. And this guy's mom was a moonshine buddy, I guess.
I have a question.
What?
What is moonshine?
It's like intense, like very, like distilled fucking...
I know that, yeah. But like, what kind, is it just like alcohol?
It's moonshine.
It's its own brand.
I think it's just his own thing.
I have always thought that moonshine was like some kind of wild ass vodka, which like maybe
Who knows? To be honest, I don't really know. I just know it's like moonshine.
Yeah, I know it's like wild. I think actually Caleb likes or like has tried moonshine.
Caleb, let us know.
Caleb, right in.
Caleb, right is it? So anyhow, everyone was trying to give him a... Also, your grandma sounds fucking hilarious.
She truly does. I love that she's tatted.
Anyhow, everyone was trying to give him a second chance at life now that he was off whatever he was on and couldn't get a job anywhere. My friend and I told my mom that he had been showing up everywhere, but my parents chalked it up to, well, yeah, you two are so interesting to the people around here. He's probably harmless and curious. Again, sounds conceited and ridiculous, but there were times where we would go into town to grocery shop and people would ask to take pictures with us for no other reason than to tell people that they saw someone who looks like we do.
My mom said that people used to ask to take pictures of me in Hawaii because they called me a howlie, which means white girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. Things are very different now. Lots of development in tourism, but at the time, this was just what we dealt with. Fast forward to a week or so more of this. One night, my friend and I were sitting in my bedroom just hanging out. She was on her Game Boy playing Harvest Moon, Friends of Mineral Town, because we some agricultural and harmonious-ass bitches. I'm obsessed with you.
Were you playing Harvest Moon Aquarian?
That's amazing. And I was studying a dinosaur encyclopedia.
Cash.
Yes. We heard a very strange sound. It was a sort of sliding or shuffling noise and then a thunk. Sliding, shuffling, then thunk. Sliding, then thunk. Mm. We both stopped moving and listened. I turned and looked at the window where the noises were coming from and realized that the sliding was from two pleather couch skinny fucking skeleton fingers popping up, pushing my window open ever so slightly, and the thunk was the person falling back down.
I'm leaving.
I gotta go.
I'm out.
The houses there are raised, even if it's single level, due to the crazy floods we have. So this window is technically the first floor, but it's about 10 feet off the ground or whatever. I don't know. I'm 4'11". The shit is high up, okay? I'm not an architect. I love you. This dude was fucking jumping up to my window over and over and over. My friend fucking abandons me and just runs right out of my bedroom. I walk over with my dinosaur encyclopedia, which I attached a pic of now because I couldn't, how could I not keep it just based on the subject matter alone?
Truth.
No lies detected. And the next time his fingers popped up, I slammed it down on them.
Good.
Hell yeah.
That's what you do.
I heard him yelp and fall back down, and sure as shit, when I looked out the window, his gangly ass was running away. I ran out of my room and ran into my grandpa, and when I told him, he ran right out the front door in his underwear, which was a utility with a utility belt and shotgun.
I need pictures of
I'm obsessed
moment.
With your family and you.
I love all of you.
The dude was already on his loud-ass bicycle from scritchy scratchy hell and rolling out of our yard, but my grandpa shot at him, missed, and then threw a small axe as well.
Just for good measure.
It says, I love him. Rest in peace, but I love that he truly thought he could just tomahawk this bitch from the front door.
Listen, grandpas can do anything. LMFAO. Grandpas
for the win. The next day, my family went to his poor mother's house to confront them about what happened, and he had left the village. He packed up and left the night before, leaving his mom just heartbroken and confused.
Aww.
But he probably knew that intense bodily harm was imminent just based on my family's reputation.
Yeah, he knew that axe was going to get him one way or the other.
Yeah, don't fuck with your family. Mm-mm. That's a whole different story. But like, we live on a compound. Just think Godfather thoughts.
Mm.
You know what? I'll just mention it. My grandpa has shotgun blasted some dude out of our bungalow that was creeping up in the middle of the night when I was around 4 years old. And the neighbors will remember that sort of thing.
Of course they will.
I'm so, can we just like hang out? Like, you're just fucking hilarious.
Doesn't it make it?
Holy shit.
It gives me Caleb vibes.
Holy, you really do give me Caleb vibes. Anyway, years later, I spotted him once in the city. He made eye contact with me and disappeared into the crowd.
Oh no.
But I didn't chase him or anything. What would I even say? What up, smashy fingers? You back again? I don't know. Thanks for reading my bullshit. Anyways, you two brighten up my days. You just brightened up our day.
You brightened the shit out of this day.
I am so happy that the little Morbids are all okay, and I will always and forever keep it weird. But not so weird that you keep an old-ass bike that squeaks louder than the hat. Fuck, I can't read it because it's all one
but
thing.
But not so weird that you keep an old-ass bike that squeaks louder than the hash-slinging slasher and try to lick glib
climb to children's windows like, just buy a new fucking bike. Fuck you, stay off of whatever you were on. P.S. Also attached is a photo of my dog Azula in a cool hat because I don't know. I just want to share her with you. I feel like that's all right. Also, the dinosaur encyclopedia.
Wait, you've neglected to mention how, of course you said how cute your dog is, but you did not say that your dog was wearing a hat that says Bigfoot is real and he tried to eat my ass because you didn't share that part. Also, we have this blanket. We literally have this blanket.
We literally do.
Got from Home Goods.
We are supposed to be best friends. I know it.
You are Caleb on another plane. Like,
this
I just feel
so
it.
Wild.
Wow.
That was great.
It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Guys, I am obsessed with Astapro and you should be too, because seasonal allergies are a freaking bummer. They make me feel like crud. They make me sneeze. They make my boogies all yucca, and it's just really kind of gross. But Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter OTC allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Have you tried Astapro, Elena? Because I'm obsessed.
I have, and it's so fast!
It's so fast! Astapro, it's faster, bro. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
All right, so next up we have Mr. Jim, the Cray Cray Appalachian Cryptid.
Wow, I'm in.
Hello, resubmitting as a puttafa. Sorry, I didn't do that before.
That's okay.
Don't be sorry. You wrote thank you. I wasn't being like, yeah, thanks, asshole. I love you. Hello, ladies.
I love you.
I love you. My name is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Hello. I'm a new listener as of March of 2022, and I fell in love from the very first episode I heard, which was the Osythe Witch Trials.
Oh, man.
That was a good one to start with.
That'll do it.
You had me hooked, literally lolling in the car on the way to work. Thou hast to get fucked, bitch, is now something I say out loud to no one at least 5 times a day.
I love that.
Yeah, a lot of you were like really pissed off that I did not name my cat Titty.
He's like
kind of gray, but like not completely.
I'm gonna be honest, I did not know that people were mad about that. I'm now mad about that.
Yeah,
I've joined the ranks of the angered masses.
I couldn't have Franklin Lux and Titty.
You could.
I could.
You should.
But I have Franklin Lux and Remy.
It's true.
Which you Remy Titty similar.
It's no Titty, but it'll work.
No Titty. He doesn't have any titties because he's a boy.
True.
So, yeah. And I've spent the last few months binge listening to all the episodes. With the most recent Listener Tales episode, I figured it was time to send you my spooky story. I've submitted this before. However, I was dumb and I didn't realize that you would prefer a double space puttafa, and I should let you know that you can use my name. I have changed the names of everybody else in this story so that you can use both of those too.
Oh, you're
I added
an icon.
The part where it said both of. They just said we could add those.
You added it.
Upon realizing the error of my ways, I have corrected them and resubmitted, and away we go. You did not have to do that, by the way. That was really nice of you.
But you're phenomenal.
Love you, Kristen. It was 2008. I was 14. Theme of this story. Theme of the listener tales.
Yes.
And I was asked to babysit my 3 younger cousins, aged 4, 8, and 1, in an extremely rural mountainous part of Pennsylvania. My aunt and uncle had a wedding to go to over an hour away and wouldn't be back until very late. Their house was situated on a steep mountainside. Their back deck had a 15-foot drop onto a rocky hill below leading down into a river.
Ooh.
Love it.
Beautiful, but dangerous.
Dangerous. Their closest neighbors were about a half a mile away. The closest main road was a mile away, and at night there were no lights to be seen anywhere around them. Ooh. Basically, it was in the middle of nowhere, and you would have to know where you were going to get there. No one just accidentally wound up there. My aunt and uncle left us with some pizza and their cell phone number next to their landline. I was only 14 and a poor bitch didn't even have a cell phone. Even if we did, I wouldn't get reception there anyway. And then they headed out. The baby was already asleep. The 4-year-old wasn't feeling well and was quietly watching TV in the living room as he slept on and off. And the 8-year-old was playing Guitar Hero with me up on the loft.
Amazing.
That's like taking me back to my babysitting days.
A sign of the times.
Truly. The loft over... Oh. That made me miss the Harry Styles concert so badly. I just had like an actual, it's sign of the times, it's a sign. The way you just looked at me, bewildered. Absolutely bewildered.
That's me.
You never heard like, just stop your crying, it's a sign of the times.
Oh, yeah. I have. I
cannot sing. La-da-da-da. This description of the driveway is an important detail to the story, I promise. The road that led to their house ran straight into their forked driveway. It was a dead-end road. The house was as far as you could possibly go. Go to the left driveway, there's a large open carport, and that's where my aunt and uncle, and anyone who ever visited, parked. The right driveway led down a very short but very steep hill to a large leveled out area, and ended against the garage door that opened to the basement of the house. It was never used as a garage, but served as my uncle's man cave and where he spent most of his time. Right beside the garage door, a normal door with a window so you could see right in. But this driveway was exclusively used by the kids as a play area because it was the only flat, quote-unquote, yard-like area on the property, and being on a mountainside, there isn't much room to safely play otherwise. No cars ever drove down there, ever. There were too many toys and bikes in the way, and friends and family knew this. It was about 10 p.m., pitch black outside, no moon to illuminate the area either. My cousin and I were still playing Guitar Hero when headlights caught the corner of my eye. And not my aunt's minivan headlights. Huge, bright, dickhead truck headlights.
Oh, no.
With those roof lights that you often see on Jeeps or other off-road trucks that absolutely blind you.
Well, that's terrifying.
Immediately, I got a vision of Emmett's fucking Jeep from Twilight.
I love that that's where you went. I immediately thought of House of Wax.
Oh,
the truck that pulls up.
There you go. Yeah. That explains us as humans perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
Not only that, the truck was going down the right driveway, the kids' play area. This was not my aunt and uncle. This was not anyone they knew.
Oh, I hate this.
Panic and dread filled my body and mine too. I was a small teenage girl alone in an isolated house on a mountain at night with three children in my care.
Oh, no.
In a terrified voice, I asked my cousin, "Who is that? Jake, do you know whose truck that is?" And he looked panicked. "No, I've never seen that truck before," he replied. "Oh my God, I can't even imagine being 14 and having this be my experience." I quickly ushered him downstairs, still unsure what to do. But the two little ones were sleeping down there and I wanted to make sure that they were safe. Look at you, you 14-year-old.
Good for you, man.
Go, go, go. I checked on the baby in my aunt and uncle's bedroom and he was totally fine. I turned my attention to the 4-year-old and told, more like shouted at him in a scared, squawking bird.
Oh my God.
To go upstairs and lock himself into the bathroom. I don't know why that was the direction I gave him. I was just panicking and that seemed like the safest place.
And I think you did the right thing.
I think so. He just sleepily got off the couch and did as he was told, zero fucks given, even though I probably looked and sounded very panicked. He was just so sick and sleepy, he just listened to me.
Aww.
I grabbed the phone to call 911, and then I started to hear the metal, oh my God, I'm like actually panicking.
Oh my God,
too.
This is horror movie shit.
It is. I started to hear the metal garage door being shaken violently.
No.
More panic fills me. I hear them try the door beside it, the metal doorknob jiggling. No one was actually knocking. It's not like they were checking to see if my uncle was down there. Plus, they could clearly see the basement was dark and would know that nobody was down there. They were definitely breaking in.
What the fuck?
The door leading to the basement steps was right next to the phone, so I could clearly hear all of this ruckus going on. I quickly turned the little lock on the doorknob just in case they did make it into the basement, that would have actually done anything aside from just giving us an additional minute or so of being alive.
Oh my
but
God.
Still a good thought. My heart was practically jumping out of my chest. I'm talking to 911 to the 911 dispatcher as my 8-year-old cousin clings to my arm. The operator is calm and trying to calm me, but I knew in my heart it would be at least 30 minutes until a police officer could get up there, assuming they didn't get totally lost on this mountainside in the pitch dark. I just kept thinking, we're fucked. We're dead. This is how we die. The operator asked for the number my aunt and uncle left me so she could have another dispatcher call them and let them know the situation. I turned around to grab the paper with the number on it, and to my, and to my absolute horror, I see a man peering in the large glass sliding door. Oh my God, I'm shitting myself right now. A huge, burly, what had to have been a 6'4 man with long, scraggly red hair and a big, beard. And what made it worse, he was grinning at me. Grinning in a way that still scares me to this day. I'm literally holding on to the collar of my sweatshirt, like, shook right now.
Literally.
Oh my God. Meanwhile, I had to have looked like a terrified deer in the headlights. I was shaking so hard I could barely hold the phone.
Oh my God.
There was a second man behind him.
Oh my God.
I couldn't see as well. I have no idea what he looked like, but he was equally as tall, but a bit lankier than the larger man standing at the sliding glass door. I screamed, "Oh God, they're here."
Oh my God.
And before the 911 operator can say anything, my 8-year-old cousin goes, "Mr. Jim?"
Oh my God.
His voice was very confused. It wasn't like my cousin was happy or even relieved to see him. He just happened to know this man's name. I asked, "You know who that is?" But before my cousin could answer, I turned my attention to the man on the door at the door. "I'm on the phone with the police," I shouted. My fear had turned into rage.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Jim stared at me hard for a moment, eyebrows furrowed like he was deciding what he wanted to do next, but then just backed away into the darkness like an asshole.
What?
No, oops, sorry, didn't mean to scare you. I was just looking for Casey, my uncle. He didn't even try to excuse himself, didn't even try to apologize. He just backed into the darkness like an actual villain or some kind of fucking cryptid.
What the fuck?
He did resemble Bigfoot in a way, so maybe he is. Maybe that's the Pennsylvania Appalachian Bigfoot, and he has an associate and a truck.
Oh my God.
My God. What seemed like an eternity later, I saw the truck lights back out of the driveway and then back down the road until they disappeared. I'm like, what did this man want? I was scared shitless, and so was my cousin. He had only met that guy a few times, just an acquaintance of his dad. It was obvious that he was not a familiar friend. Otherwise, he'd have known better than to go down the wrong driveway. The 911 operator asked for a description of the man and told me that they'd gotten in touch with my aunt and uncle and they were on their way home. She stayed on the phone with me until a police officer showed up a bit later to make sure that the men were gone, and they stayed with us until my aunt and uncle got home so that they could ask them some questions. One of the questions was probably, why do you have a 14-year-old watching three small children on a mountain at night? As the mom of a 9 and 3-year-old now, I could never, but it was 2008 and I was a cheap babysitter, so YOLO, I guess. We were saying YOLO in 2008, right? I think so.
Sure.
Yeah. Also, I think I only got like $20, which I definitely should have gotten more after having the literal shit scared out of me.
Seriously.
You really should have.
The responsibility you had that night.
That's a lot of responsibility. After the cops left, my uncle was furious and muttered something like, I'm gonna go fuck him up. My aunt was fuming mad at my uncle and told him to tell Jim never to come back around again. Now that I'm an adult, I know that my uncle had a drug problem. So now I can only assume that Mr. Jim was coming by to look for drugs or maybe to rob the place for drug money.
Oh, jeez.
Who the heck knows? What I don't want to know is what he would have done if I wasn't already on the phone with 911. Why was he fucking grinning at us?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
I know, exactly. Was I going to be the drug money? Was he going to throw me off the mountain? I don't know. And also, I'm also grateful now thinking about it that he didn't try the sliding glass door because I don't even think it was locked.
Oh my God.
And I'm not Kevin from Home Alone, so there were no booby traps to help us out of that situation.
Oh, that's all I would be thinking of, too. I'd be like, man, why am I not Kevin?
Truly. I don't know how I ever got to sleep that night, but I did. And I was not asked to babysit ever again, nor did I ever go back to that mountainside house again, because shortly after this incident, my aunt divorced my uncle and moved out of
there.
So that's the story of Mr. Jim, the crazy mountain man, who I'll just pretend is a scary Appalachian cryptid, I guess.
He basically is.
Yeah, I mean, essentially. Thank you both for taking the time to read my story, and I hope it makes sense and I didn't ramble too much. I proofread it like 5 times. You did great. And thank you for all the time and effort that you put into the podcast.
Please, thank you.
Thank you so much. Please do this forever and ever. And don't forget to keep it weird, but not so weird that you try to rob a house in the middle of the pitch black night on a mountainside and you grin sinisterly at a terrified teenage girl and her baby cousins.
That's what kills me, is like he could
Why
see you.
Was he grinning?
Terrified, holding a child who is also terrified.
And he's lolling.
And he's sitting there grinning at you?
Like, why?
What the fuck was that intention? Like, there was no... And the fact that he was, like, shaking the metal door and, like, trying to,
yeah.
I'm like, he was... Something bad was going to happen.
100%. Because he was shaking not only the door, but the fucking garage door, too.
That's terrifying.
That's so fucked up. I'm also so sorry that you had that experience. All of you, that you've had these experiences.
Because, like, the amount of responsibility you had that night at 14 years old.
Seriously.
And you handled it like a fucking champ.
You really did. I think back to the times that I was like a similar age babysitting like many, many children. And I'm like, why did people trust us to do this? Like,
I know it was always, I don't know.
Because like now having nieces, you are like such a great mom and such a
great
role model. Like I want to be a mama like you, mom.
Oh, thank you.
I meant to say man, but then I started to say mom again. So I was like, mom.
Mom.
But I like you would never hire like a 14-year-old to babysit.
No, I definitely wouldn't.
But that's... I mean, very different times.
Very different times. That's
like
for
they
sure.
Said, like 2008 versus now. Very different.
Yeah, definitely a different situation. All right. This one is entitled... What a see.
I think it's crazy.
Crazy ass home invasion. Just right to the point.
All right.
Ooh, ah, I just like just threw my computer. I just like punted my computer across the room.
Did you think it was so cute? Anytime I see anything that's so cute, I'm like, I just want to punt that across the room.
And that's like a scientific thing.
Yeah, I saw that once on Instagram.
I think I was talking with it with Debbie's husband, Pat, actually. We both share that Pat. We both share that similar thing where we want to like punch things that are really cute.
Same. I want, it's like you have to destroy it because your brain just can't even handle it.
Yeah, and our significant others do not understand that scientific fact.
I think Drew understands that. I often say that I want to throw your youngest across the room just because she's so cute.
Because she's so cute.
Like, I'm not mad at her ever.
No, you're like, I literally love you so much. I just want to like scream.
Literally.
Yeah. And quick little like correction from a long time ago.
Oh.
We had mentioned, thinking of Pat, we had mentioned the story of during the Boston Marathon bombings, how Pat and Debbie were like right in the middle of that whole manhunt thing where they were living at the time in Watertown. And in the middle of the night, they heard a noise, and them and their neighbor, like who was like another tenant in the building, met in the basement. And we said that Pat had a glass of tepid water that he was came as a weapon.
But we were wrong.
We were wrong. And I knew it too. When it came out, I was like, that, I don't think that was right, but I wasn't sure.
I'm also pretty sure I told the story like third hand. So that's probably what
I should have known, because it was the neighbor who brought the tepid glass of water as the weapon, and Pat brought like a golf club or a bat.
Oh, something. So like a normal thing.
Yeah. So, but the neighbor literally brought a glass of tepid water, and Pat was like, what are you going to do with that? What's going to happen?
Do you think they were like drinking?
It's not even hot. It's not cold. It's literally
just
room temperature water. Like, not going to do anything.
I mean, if you threw that on his face, it would like buy you
for a second. It certainly would.
Yeah.
But I had to correct that because he was like, damn it. It wasn't me with the tepid water.
He's like, I'm not that person.
I did not do that.
I'm not that guy.
But back to the listener tale.
Back to it.
Hi, ladies. I'm Marley. I have just started listening to the podcast for about a week, and you have kept me entertained through my long overnight shifts. Hearing the other listener tales and you guys saying having someone attack you at home is the scariest thing has made me want to share a story about a crazy-ass home invasion my family experienced 10 years ago. You can use my name. I've shortened everyone else's, and sorry if this story is too long, but there are many layers to it. We live in lovely Mesa, Arizona, and our neighborhood is really quiet and nothing ever happened.
That's how it always begins.
Exactly. I was 19 and living with my mom and my older sister, V. My older sister, S, was up north in Flagstaff, finishing her final year at NEU. And it was just me, my mom and me at the house with my sister, V, spending the night at her boyfriend's house. It was about 2 a.m. and being 19, able to run on only a few hours of sleep, I was up watching Netflix with all my lights on. Suddenly, all the lights go out. I was like, what the fuck? I quickly realized that our power was out. I figured that our AC had tripped our circuit breaker. It had happened before. I got up and woke my mom, telling her the power was out. Concerned, we went to the front door to check the breaker. Our breaker was on the side of the house around the corner from the front door. As we stepped outside, a man stepped out from around the corner by the breaker. We immediately stopped, and my mom asked, who are you?
Oh my God.
He stepped forward and said, we are going back into the house.
No the fuck you're not.
My mom said, no way, and told me to get the phone and call 911. When the man said, no, you're not, let's all go back inside, my mom was like, you're not going in my house, who are you? I went back inside and got my phone from my room, calling 911 as I walked back to the front door. As I was telling the operator that there was a stranger outside of our house, I saw a commotion at the door. Suddenly, the man pushed his way through the door, despite me trying to stop him, and locked it behind him.
Oh my God.
Somehow, I ended up on the floor, and he grabbed me by my upper arms and dragged me to one of the bedrooms.
Oh my God.
Now, if you're wondering what happened to my mom, I'll tell you. When he pushed past her, she tried to stop him. So what he did was pull out a taser gun and tased her.
Oh my God.
But she didn't go down and kept fighting him and yelling for help. So he tased her a second time until she finally fell. She fell and hit a chair so hard she broke her arm and had to have surgery to repair it. Hearing me yelling in the house, my mom got up and tried to get me, but was locked out. She grabbed a broom that was outside and broke a window trying to get back inside, cutting her hand in the process. Around this time, one of our neighbors ran up to help, and the cops also show up. As you can imagine, I was freaking the fuck out. I didn't know who this guy was or what he wanted. After he dragged me to the bedroom, he leaned against the door and looked and locked it. I wanted to get as far away as possible from him and went to the other corner of the room on the bed. At that point, I found that I was still on my phone. I still had my phone in my hand and that 911 was still on the line. As I was telling 911 my address and the description of the stranger, he pulled out a gun and pointed it at his own head.
What?
He then said, "Marley, give me your sister's number." After asking him what, he repeated, "Give me your sister S's number." Seeing that this guy had a gun and somehow knew us, I tried to give her a number, but I told him the wrong one. After seeing that it was the wrong one, he told me to give him my phone. I said no. It was my connection to the outside, and the operators were still talking to me. He then said, "If I give you a knife to feel safe, will you give me your phone?"
What?
He then pulled out a big army knife and traded it for my phone. After he got the number and gave me my phone back, I asked if I could leave. He said sure, and stepped from the door, and I got the fuck out of there with knife in hand.
What?
As I got to the front door, I could see and hear the police outside. I put the knife down and walked out the door. I couldn't see much of their light pointed at with their lights pointed at me, but they told me to have my hands up and walk towards them. Now my dumbass, now realizing I could have been shot for this, heard our Jack Russell barking at the door.
Oh.
Thinking I couldn't leave her there with a crazy person in the house, I turned around and grabbed the dog. When I reached the police, they took me to one side of the street and asked me questions. They were also asking my mom questions as she was being looked over by paramedics. The cops checked the registration of the car in front of our house. They asked my mom if she knew anyone named M. Abbott. In shock, she said, "That's my oldest daughter's old boyfriend. They had dated 7 years ago in high school and he had broken up with her."
What?
As I was sitting there with my dog, my phone rung. My sister S was calling from Flagstaff. She immediately demanded to know where I was and if I was safe. When I said I was, she told me to give the phone to the police so they could confirm it. Hearing the police talk to her, I heard them say the guy's name, M. Abbott. It clicked for me then who it was. She told the police that he'd sent her a picture of me in the room and then called her.
What?
He told her that it didn't have to happen this way if she had only responded to his messages.
Like, dude, you broke up with me. What the fuck?
Fuck this guy. Before she could respond, he hung up, then killed himself in the bedroom before the police could come in.
Oh,
holy shit. Even though it didn't turn out so well for him, I can't help to be grateful on how that night ended. We were lucky to only come out with my mom only having a broken arm and me with a slight hip pain from hitting a corner wall.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I think about what could have happened if I hadn't been awake at that time, or what if my sister V had been home. We found out later that he had a bulletproof vest on and zip ties in his car. What the fuck? He had been trying to contact my sister for months and had even gone to Flagstaff looking for her.
This person was unwell.
Yeah. So there's the story of my crazy ass home invasion. My mom still lives at that house, but that room has been turned into her eBay room.
What's an eBay room?
She has an eBay room.
I love that.
And it's that room. Hope you guys found it interesting and can't wait to listen to more episodes.
Oh my goodness.
P.S. Here's another thing to prove that night sucked for everyone. I believe you. My sister V, who was at her boyfriend's house, a drunk driver hit and totaled her parked car. She had left her phone at home, so she had no idea that anything had happened at home. So she pulls up in the morning thinking that she has to tell our mom that her car is totaled.
Oh.
So she's like, I have to tell her this bad thing.
Right.
She sees police and crime tape outside of our house. Then they stop her and explain that and then she stops them and says her family lives there. The officer says something happened to your mother and sister. They paused and then said, "They're fine. They're at the hospital."
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Hey, something happened, but they're fine. Don't worry.
I love that it's like crime scene tape cops, and they're like, "Hey, something happened to your mom and your sister."
Like, thank you, sir.
They're good. They're good. They're just at the hospital.
Like, oh my goodness.
My goodness. Wow. That was quite a tale.
That was bananas.
Quite a tale, Marley. That was quite a tale.
It sounded like a movie. It reminded me of that movie Fear.
It does remind me of Fear.
Like
Mark Wahlberg.
And young Reese Witherspoon.
Yes, that's a great movie. It's really scary, though.
It's terrifying. You guys did it again, guys.
You're always doing it.
I don't know why I said guys so many times.
Guys, you're doing it again.
Guys, you guys are doing it again, guys.
Guys, guys. Wow.
What
Thank
a guy.
You for... What a guy.
Quite a guy.
Quite a guy. Oh my. But yeah, keep sending in these tales And we'll keep reading them.
Yes. And in the meantime, we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep it weird. But that's where you don't lock your doors, you lock your windows, and you end up sending us a story about your home invasion, because I don't want you to have to do that.
Don't do that weird. Don't do that.
Bye. If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.